KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning. It's another great day to be a Bulldog. This is Fresno State Sports Report producer Kevin Kirsten. Host Eddie Hughes and Jim Bartko couldn't be with us in the studio this morning, but I do have host Eddie Hughes via telephone. Eddie, how's it going, bud?
Doing great, Kevin. How about you?
Doing good. It's a little lonely in here, I have to say, without you, but we're going to make it work today.
Thanks for holding it down in the studio today and patching me in by phone. Happy I could still be a part of the show.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, you know, we got to get down to business. We're going to get to that UNLV game right now, and I just want to hear some of your thoughts about it. Let's process it out and figure out what's good and what's bad that came out of that game.
Yeah, Kevin, it seems like, you know, the type of chat we've been having every week this season, but the Dogs suffered another loss on the gridiron this past week at UNLV, this time against the UNLV team, picked to finish behind the Dogs in the preseason standings. But coming up in the show, we'll preview today's game at Nevada, like you said, and kick off that 4 p.m. on ESPN3, the online feed. But first, Kevin, what are your thoughts on the loss to UNLV?
Oh, man. I'm going to try to figure out where to start on it, but it was certainly a game that I thought, and mostly everyone here probably thought, that we were going to win. I'm not sure what's going on. There's a couple pieces of the game that I still can't really quite figure out. Chasen seems to be struggling a little bit with his completion percentage and his accuracy. I'm not sure. It seems to be he's throwing high a lot. He's always overthrowing, or I don't know if it's still nerves, but those are going to have to shake off pretty soon, or, you know, we're going to be in trouble for the rest of the season. But I mean, Aaron Peck had a great game, and he shows the ability that he has, that he can still make big plays and gain a lot of yards in the game. But we just have a couple areas that we definitely need to fix really quickly, and hopefully it was fixed this week for the game against Nevada today. But I don't know. What do you think? What are some areas that you see that could be bright spots in what looked like a dismal game? But I mean, what do you think came out of that game that was good, if anything?
Yeah, I think you have to look at one particular point in that game. You know, right after halftime there, the Dogs kicked a field goal to make it 21-10 UNLV. And, you know, just after halftime, the Bulldogs, after that field goal, appeared to force a fumble around the UNLV 5-yard line on a bang-bang pass play. And it was ruled a fumble on the field, but the refs reversed the call after a long review, kind of the opposite of what happened the week before with the Bulldogs at home, when they had a bang-bang play and Aaron Peck fumbled against Tulsa. And, you know, that call was upheld as a fumble. So a little bit of two different officiating crews seeing it a different way. And for the Bulldogs, they came up on the short side both times. But I really look at that moment as kind of shifting all the momentum toward UNLV. That, you know, right after that play, you had Dalton Snead, the first-time starting quarterback for UNLV, playing his first college game. He's scrambling under pressure. Brandon Hughes on the Bulldogs has him. Looks like he has him in the end zone for his safety. And then all of a sudden, boom, Dalton Snead pops out, eludes a few defenders, and just maneuvers his way 91 yards.
All the way to the house. You know what, though? I'm just going to be honest. I watched that play like 3 or 4 times, you know, because we're all like instant replay experts now with DVR. I watched that play like 3 or 4 times, and I'm going to be honest. There's two things I noticed about that play. One, first of all, I think the tackling needs to get better on this team. There's missed tackles. I count every single game. They need to tackle better. That's one thing. I mean, cut and dry. Two, I think that the Bulldogs thought he might be running out of bounds like most quarterbacks do, because he was on his way. You know, it looked like he was going to go out. And three, when I watched that play thinking he was going out of bounds, you seen half the team kind of slow up, you know, assuming that he was going to go out. And I think that's what caused that long touchdown run. I mean, if they would have kept playing to the end of the whistle and made sure that he was going out, or made sure, you know, keep the angles on him so he don't get to go down the rest of the field, that play would have never happened.
Absolutely. I think you're exactly right. And I think we heard some of the coaches talk about that this week leading up to today's game with Nevada, that, you know, they're not sure if those defenders, you know, thought Snead was running out of bounds or what happened there, because it looks like about 4 defenders had an angle on him and somehow he still scooted past them on the sideline. That he got one key block, maybe an over-pursuit there by a Bulldogs defender out of bounds. But, yeah, I mean, giving up a 91-yard touchdown to a first-time quarterback who is not the fastest, not the most athletic guy in the world, but, you know, definitely a playmaker. But at the same time, it's something you expect your defense to be able to stop. The longest run in UNLV history, you know, by a guy making his first college start is pretty crazy to think about. And for this Bulldogs team, it's been a common thread throughout the year, you know, giving up big running plays, giving up a lot of big running plays. And I think that's something they're definitely going to have to shore up. Nevada's, you know, going to try to do more of the same. They're known for their multi-back sets. They're known for running out of that pistol formation. They're kind of the creators of that pistol back when they had Chris Ault as coach and Colin Kaepernick at quarterback. So, you know, the Bulldogs are going to have to change something to stop getting the same result. And no one wants that same result anymore because it's added up to four losses in the first five games right now. So, looking at the replay, as you were talking about, kind of dissecting that, I completely understand why the officials made the call the way they did. The unfortunate part for the Bulldogs is that the fumble wasn't reversed the week before when it happened to Aaron Peck.
Yeah.
And because they might have won that game against Tulsa in overtime, that would have been a big momentum-shifting home win for them.
Yeah, because I looked at that play when he fumbled the ball, and I was like, that is for sure a football move. And he looked like he was turning out the field, and then all of a sudden they didn't give it to the Bulldogs. So, yeah, you're right. It would have been a momentum shift or so. But, I mean, you can only look at plays for so long and say this is why or this is what could have happened. But there's a lot of things that this Bulldogs team needs to tighten up, though.
Right. And, you know, the momentum shifter comes because if you just score a field goal, you get within 11, and then you get the ball there inside your own 10-yard line, you expect to go in and score a touchdown. And if you do that, all of a sudden, 21-17, the Dogs are within four.
Yeah.
All the momentum's going toward Fresno State. But instead, you get the longest rush in UNLV history on the next
play.
Yeah,
it was massive.
And all the momentum swings the other way and kind of deflates the Bulldogs' energy a little bit, I would imagine. You mentioned Aaron Peck, and I think, you know, he's definitely deserving of having us talk about him. The game he had was probably the best performance by any Bulldog player this year.
What do you have, 194 yards and two touchdowns? You don't really get much better than that in a game. I mean, you're putting up bigger numbers than that, then you're doing something special. But, yeah, it was definitely his best game of the year, the best receiving game of the year, and that just shows the importance of Virgil needs to be on target, because there's a lot of the plays that I've seen that if he was just on target, the ball was like maybe, you know, a couple feet lower. The receivers are open. He just needs to hit them.
Yeah, I think right now they probably want to see some consistency out of Chase and Virgil. He shows those flashes where, you know, he hits guys on the money downfield. He hangs out in the pocket and delivers the ball. But then there's also times where you look at the throws and you want a little more accuracy. And it's hard to, you know, step back and say, okay, this is a redshirt freshman we're talking about. So you got to temper expectations a little bit. But you hope as the season goes on, as we get farther into conference play, that you start to see him developing more consistency with that, raising that completion percentage up around 50% right now. But
35% in that game at UNLV.
Yeah, and that's just not going to cut it. But, you know, coming into Nevada today, you've got Aaron Peck. You mentioned he scored the two touchdowns. He had one of them an 80-yarder where, you know, catch and run, where he just beat guys down the sideline. I don't know if we've seen that breakaway speed from Aaron Peck, a guy his size. You know, just a big fella running downfield like that. I don't know if we've seen that from Peck before. That was nice to see. Hopefully it boosts his confidence. He's a senior leader for this team. And then you look at the only other time in his career he scored two touchdowns was the last time the Bulldogs played at Nevada. So that's something to keep an eye on, too. Maybe he'll start to make that a trend.
Yeah, maybe the momentum will carry over into the game today. Hopefully that's the case. And the receivers just take that as an example and follow along, you know, and that'll right now, you know, with the rushing game that's not so existent right now in the games, or it's not so prevalent, then we're going to have to depend on that receiving corps. So maybe he can take the lead with that last game, carry the momentum into it, tight ends involved, and Olsen can get involved more.
You know, we talked earlier in the year about this two-game road trip to UNLV and Nevada and how important it would be for the Bulldogs to at least split those two games if they want to stay in contention in the Mountain West. They lost the first one at UNLV, so that makes this Nevada game even more important. To talk about what you think it's going to take to beat this Nevada team, I know they lost to Hawaii. They got dominated, really, at Hawaii this past Saturday. Nevada did, a Hawaii team that was picked to finish last in the West Division. It's been tough to get a read on this Nevada team. They were picked to finish second in the West. They dropped a game 38-10 to Hawaii, the team that was picked to finish last. You know, then they open the season, they need overtime to hold off Cal Poly, bounce back a couple weeks later and lead Purdue, at Purdue, going into the fourth quarter and let that lead slip away. So I think this Nevada team is a team really in search of a win, in search of a confidence boost as well.
Yeah, and I'm hoping they're not getting it against the Bulldogs today, but I think the key to stopping them is they've been watching our films, and I'm sure they're watching our inability to stop the rushing game. So I think that's going to be the number one concern, is to stop the rushing. Their backs are averaging around 5 yards a carry. If our defensive line can't stop the rushing game, then we're going to be in trouble, because they're not going to have to resort to the passing, although Tyler Stewart has like a 65% completion percentage right now. So he's not playing bad, can hit his receivers, but I think the key is going to be rushing. They're seeing that we haven't been able to stop it so far, so I think that's going to be the bottom line.
Yeah, when I was jotting down a few ideas for my keys to the game for a Bulldogs victory, stop the run was the first thing that I wrote down. You know, I think just the way the Bulldogs have given up over 300 yards rushing in three straight games, you've got to stop the bleeding, so to speak, at some point. So I think that's going to be really critical to winning today. The Bulldogs have shown they can win at Nevada. You know, they lead that all-time series. They won at Nevada their last two times they've played there, back in 2014. That win at Nevada basically clinched the Mountain West West Division title for the Bulldogs. This year, they're just trying to stay in contention for that title, but and there's also the revenge factor, because Nevada came into Bulldog Stadium and beat the Dogs last season. And that's where my second key to the game comes into play, and that's just playing with pride. I think when you're in danger, like the Bulldogs are, of having the two worst seasons in school history, mm-hmm. perhaps, no senior class wants to go out like that. You need to do something to make a statement, to turn it around, to get the guys feeling good about what they're doing, and let them know that they're on the right track and they just have to stay the course. You know, this senior class has some guys who have been with the program for a while, a guy like Aaron Peck, a guy like Brandon Hughes, and yeah, a guy like Jeff Camilli. And Camilli really, you know, he's playing well right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's playing really well.
Racking up the tackles, really. But I think those guys are going to really need to step out and kind of lead the way with just showing emotion and pride and you know, going as hard as possible to get.
I agree with your second key to the game wholeheartedly. The Bulldogs had to realize that long run at UNLV, a 91-yard run by the quarterback, can't happen. It's unacceptable. Just because I watched half the team thinking that the other guy was going to make the tackle. Like, you have to play to the whistle. You can't assume he's going to run out of bounds. You can't assume that your other teammate is going to make that tackle. Everyone has to be on the ball like lightning. You have to be there and not give up on the play or not assume. And it ties into your saying they have to play with passion and play with pride, because the pride is on the line right now. If you drop this game in Nevada, confidence is not going to be there for a good San Diego State team coming into Bulldog Stadium, and you're going to be 1-5 at this point. So we can't afford to lose this game today. I'm just hoping that that's not the outcome of the game.
Yeah, Tim DeRuiter, he addressed it too in his press conference this week about how to turn this thing around, how to right this ship for a program that's lost 15 of its past 19 games. That's something that's got to turn around and maybe flip around the exact opposite way. But Coach DeRuiter addressed all of those questions in his press conference, and we'll play that for you now.
Here's Coach Tim DeRuiter. His Bulldogs hoping to even up their conference record at 1-1 when they take on the Nevada Wolfpack in Reno. Coach DeRuiter's won in that stadium a couple times with these Bulldogs. Coach, where do you start this week?
What you've got to do is evaluate and get better. We got to play better fundamental football. We've got to block and tackle. And, you know, on Saturday, we didn't tackle very well. We didn't fundamentally tackle very well. And so you go back to, you know, going back to practice and going good versus good, and we've got to block and tackle, you know, a lot better than we have.
Have you ever been in this situation this late in the year where you feel yourself saying that the basics just aren't happening?
I'm sure at certain points you have. You know, we've got to get our guys to where they're playing fast and with confidence in all three phases. And, you know, we'll have eight or nine guys doing that, but one or two guys or three guys on a particular play, for whatever reason, aren't. We've got to get the whole unit playing consistently. And, you know, it's a matter of just keep practicing. You know, I thought at the beginning of the season, we're going to be a lot better team in November than we were, you know, September 1, you know, because we're a young team and we got to continue to practice. That's why we've altered our practice schedule. We're just going to continue to be a work in progress until it finally clicks.
Is there something that you think will help you get over that threshold? Is there something that you haven't seen yet that you think, if it happens, that'll make the difference?
There's no magic elixir to this thing. You've got to fight your way out. You've got to continue to work hard. And I was really encouraged by the way our guys showed up Sunday afterwards. You know, you would think there would be a look of discouragement. And nobody was happy. but there was a look of resolve. There was a chip on their shoulder. They went out to practice and practice with energy and practice to get better. And as long as we keep doing that, we'll make progress, and eventually this nut's going to crack. I think in special teams, we're much improved. Both our coverage units and our return units. I think Blake Cusick hasn't been 100% consistent, but he's played very, very well for freshmen. And so, special teams, I think, is getting close to where we want them to be.
And obviously, defensively, that's your background, that's your forte. Have you thought at any moment that maybe you need to take control of the reins on that?
It's not a matter of scheme. If I thought there was issue scheme-wise, I might. If there's an issue of lack of effort, I might. But that's not the case at all. Our guys are giving great effort. Our guys are willing and wanting to go to practice every week and are putting in the time. We've got to get them to have some success so they have some confidence. And that's the whole key. If there's that lingering doubt in the back of your mind, you're not playing fast. And we've got a few guys that are doing that right now. And we've got to continue to push and have, more competition in practice so that we can get to that point.
Coach, you mentioned fundamentals and tackling. Big play where you guys nearly had a safety, and it turns into one of the UNLV's biggest rushing touchdown in their history. We kind of see those missed tackles, something that you really worked on and went over that, because it almost seemed like some of the players thought that the quarterback was going to go out of the sideline and they just let him walk.
Well, they didn't just let him walk. They did a good job of blocking. We took some bad angles to the quarterback. I don't think they anticipated the speed of their quarterback. What you've got to do in those situations is take proper angles. Something we worked on yesterday at practice. Guys got to understand that there are no assumptions. You got to assume that you're the one that has to make the tackle all the time. So you got to bust your tail to the ball, and you got to get there in a bad frame of mind and make a tackle. And we didn't finish tackles the other night.
Coach, you guys are going to be preparing to go up against probably one of the toughest running backs in the Mountain West, James Butler. How do you prepare for a guy like that? And what does he bring that you haven't seen maybe this season?
Well, he goes back to fundamentals. We're going to continue to practice good versus good against each other. Butler is a very explosive back. He runs with great balance. He's strong. He does a great job spinning and making the first guy miss. And then when he does, he's got a burst where he can run away from guys. And so he's obviously their leading threat that we've got to be concerned with. And we got to get multiple guys to the ball because he's shown against everybody that he can make guys miss. So you've got to have great effort to the ball.
Can you put into perspective just how big of a game this is, not just for Fresno State, but also for Nevada? You guys are kind of going through the exact same thing.
Well, we both started out on the road 0-1. And if you want to be a factor in this league race, you've got to win, obviously. So, to start 0-2 is going to be very difficult for anybody to win the conference. Nevada knows that. They've got a senior quarterback, some senior receivers that, they were picked one of the teams that are supposed to be the higher end of, our division. So their backs against the wall, our backs are against the wall. So in that sense, yeah, there's some similarities. We've got to go on the road and do it in Reno. We've been there and had some success the last couple years. When everybody counted the dogs out 2 years ago, our guys showed up. I expect our guys to show up this coming Saturday.
The secondary seemed to get you last year with Nevada. How do you guys prepare for, Baber and Rufus back there?
We're going to run our offense. They're good players. We just have to execute on offense. They did a good job of forcing some turnovers last year. And, we can't do that. We've got to win the turnover battle, and we've got to create some on our end. We were close the other night. James Bailey had a couple balls in his hands that we didn't finish. We thought we had a forced fumble. It didn't happen. We've got to create takeaways. The last couple of years, I think it was 6 or 7 takeaways we created in Reno, which directly resulted in us having success.
Tim, how difficult has it been to develop Chasen when it looks like he's not getting a lot of time sometimes, and then when he does get time, it looks like he's still hurrying some throws, maybe?
Well, anytime you have a freshman quarterback going through, playing Division I football for the first time, there's a process. And, yeah, you'd love to have, 100% protection and where he can feel confident in the pocket. I don't know that you're ever going to have that anywhere. But he's doing a better job. He's got to be able to feel comfortable in there to stand in and make the throws. I think part of his accuracy issues are – you know, he's sensing that maybe that's not, you know, getting done. But I do feel he's making progress. You know, having said that, every position is going to have competition. So, you know, we're going to, you know, continue to push him. And I know he's going to continue to push.
Would you open it up this week, maybe, the quarterback competition?
I mean, the quarterback competition is always being pushed so that he knows, hey, I've got to keep playing. But Chasen's our quarterback, and, you know, we got to continue to progress him.
Okay, so you're not going to split reps with
No. There's no plan. Yeah, don't read into that. Sorry.
At this point, why wouldn't you, Coach, give Zach Klein a shot at it, given the results? I mean, you talk about Chasen being young, but he just got beat by a guy starting his first game. I mean, even less experience than Chasen, throwing it and running it and beating you guys. And Chasen had, statistically, percentage-wise, his worst game throwing the ball. Is it something where maybe some time on the sideline watching somebody else could benefit him in that progression that we talk about every week?
Well, it's like I say, every position. Every position is going to have competition, and if things aren't getting done, you have to look at that. But I also think that, you know, when you put that quarterback in that position where he's, you know, looking over his shoulder, that's not a great position to be in. And, you know, sometimes you've got to look at changing things up. And we'll look at that in practice. But as far as splitting reps, you know, with the ones, Zach will get his normal reps and Chasen will get his normal reps.
So Chasen will start Saturday, no matter what?
Well, I mean, we're anticipating he's not going to get hurt or anything like that.
Right.
So I hesitate to say no matter what.
I guess
we lost a guy Thursday at practice in non-contact, you know, so.
Right. Speaking of injuries, Robert Stanley, not likely to play against Nevada?
Right now it's doubtful. You know, we'll see more today, but he's got a lower leg injury that our trainers say could be a week, could be two. But, you know, they have to evaluate it day to day.
Coach, last week we talked a lot about Charles Williams being a storyline, local kid from Bullard High who played for UNLV, plays for UNLV. Nevada has a lot of local players as well. Rufus was just brought up, a kid from Bakersfield. When you look at the opposing sideline and you see a team that recruits the Valley very well, what's your take on that? What's your impression? What do you hear from high school coaches? Does it maybe change your recruiting process when you see guys have success on the other side in conference?
Well, you know, it's no doubt that there's good football players here in the entire Valley. And so when you're in a state like Nevada, where they don't have as many just numerically Division I football players, they're going to recruit in the areas that do, and that's right here. So, you know, we know Rufus is a good player. I don't know who else you might be referring to, but there's good players here, and we're going to try to sign every good player here in the Valley first. But guys make decisions based on all kinds of different criteria. When I was in Reno, you know, guys didn't want to stay in Reno sometimes. You know, Lucas McKenzie, we signed. You know, he was originally committed to Nevada. I mean, that just happens from recruiting. It becomes magnified when someone has success against you like last week. But recruiting's recruiting, and you make your best evaluations. You go hard after the players you want, and ultimately, it's up to the young men to make the decision.
I don't want to paint you into a corner here or anything, but what would it take to make a quarterback change? I'm not saying that's the only problem with this team, but you know, you brought a guy in as a grad transfer when you know he was at Cal and didn't get that job and came here obviously because he thought he had a chance to play, and the results that the current quarterback is producing are knocking anyone's socks off. Is it just that once you made that decision at the start of the year, that was it? You didn't want to change? Or?
No, it's not being stubborn, hey, this is our decision, we're going forward. That's why I mentioned there's always going to be competition at all positions. When you're trying to develop a quarterback, I think there's a different, I don't want to say standard, but you've got to have some leeway because when you see it for the first time, it's going to be difficult. And, you know, whether we switch quarterbacks, you know, if there's pressure, I don't know that Zach would do any better than Chasen would.
I guess what do you have to lose is the question at this point.
Well, I understand your question. The ball game. We all believe in Chasen, and if we got to the point where we didn't think he was going to be effective in leading our team, we'd have to make a change.
Do you think a benching of Chasen would affect his psyche to a point where maybe he wouldn't be able to recover from such a
I don't think so. I think he's a very strong, you know, mentally tough kid. But we're not talking about that. You know, that we're not talking. You know, he's going to be our starting quarterback. So, But he's got to perform just like everybody has to perform.
Tim, you mentioned when we were talking about the Valley guys and what Charles did, that it kind of becomes magnified when he has a game like that. Did you talk to him after the game?
I told him congratulations.
Does it make it any harder when a back has a game like that and it's a guy from the backyard?
I don't know that it makes it any harder. Again, you know, I said last week, we thought he was a terrific football player. We would like to have had him. The way recruiting works, you have a blueprint. You can only take so many guys, and you have different criteria what you're looking at. And so, unfortunately, we didn't have a spot for him. And, you know, when he found a home at UNLV, you know, when those things happen, you got to play against somebody. And, you know, he had a terrific game, so hats off to him. But we like the players we have here. You know, unfortunately, you know, a bunch of them had surgeries and aren't able to play right now.
Speaking of, we didn't see Oglesby or Savion Johnson in that game. Chance we see one or both against Nevada?
Yeah, they're getting better each week. You know, Bryson's still coming off that, you know, that injury, so he's not quite at 100%. But Savion's getting closer. You know,
Tim, in tough times like these, anything in particular that you turn to, or any mentors that you talk to, or people that kind of help you manage the situation?
Yeah, I've got some coaching mentors that I hear from. You know, one of the common axioms in coaching is tough times don't last, tough people do. And I've been in seasons where you go through tough times like this, and you just got to lock arms and ignore the outside noise and continue to do what you know is going to lead you to be successful. And the thing that's really encouraging to me is there's no infighting, you know, with our players, with our staff. I've been at places where that's, you know, not been the case, where you start having guys point fingers at the other. We got a bunch of thumb pointers on our team. You know, hey, let's look at me. Let's start here, and we'll go from there. And as long as we do that, our team will grow, and we'll have success. You know, when that's going to happen, hopefully it starts this weekend. But I know our players are working each and every week to get there. And we're getting better. You know, it doesn't always show it. You know, we scratched back in that game. It's 21-10 in the third quarter. We have a couple, you know, they're backed up. We force a fumble. We think we get the ball in the six. We get that score right there. I think it's a different ball game. You know, unfortunately, the officials saw it differently. And that's football. We've got to do a better job reacting to adversity. But, you know, those margins of winning and losing are very, very small. And we've got to make those plays and, you know, take advantage of them. And if it doesn't go our way, we got to do a better job handling the adversity.
Coach, how do you explain the lack of success in defending the run, not just this year, but the last couple? I mean, if you look at the averages right now, your defense has given up 281 yards on the ground last year to Nevada. Last 3 years, I think Nevada's ran for over 200 yards. I mean, I know guys miss assignments from time to time, but it seems to be an ongoing issue.
Well, I think you have to look at it individually. You can't look at it collectively. Last week, you know, UNLV came in, they're going to run the football. They were averaging 250 yards a game rushing. That's what they do. We gave up one play of 91 yards to one player. We had a couple other plays that you'd like to think you can get the guy down on a third and 11. You take that away, and they're right at their 250-yard average. So, you know, you play Nebraska. They're running the football against everybody. You know, part of it is who you're playing against. Toledo's got a terrific offense. You know, I think they ran for 300-something against BYU. BYU's got a good defense. You know, part of it's who you play, but you've got to play better. And it's, again, it comes down to fitting gaps the right way, understanding where to be, getting multiple guys to the football, you know, playing fast so that you can do that, and then just executing, you know, tackles, you know, wrapping up, running your feet, not diving. We had too many guys trying for a blow-up shot, you know, running into guys, trying to blow them up and not wrap it up.
What do you say to those folks whose patience is wearing thin? Because I'm sure there are days where your patience wears thin. This is hard on everybody. But for the fans who say, hey, I've been watching, and, you know, two wins against FBS competition in the last 19 games, and the only team that has fewer is Kansas in the whole country. And when is it going to change? Is there something that you would tell those people that says, it is going to change, and this is why we believe it's going to change?
Well, it's going to change. It's going to change because I see the progress that our team's making. I see the fight in them. And I see our coaches coaching our guys up. You know, what we've got to do is get our guys to that point where they're confident making plays. They're confident going out and playing fast. We've got some terrific young football players that have to take that next step and not just be great practice players, but go do it on Saturdays.
That was Fresno State head coach Tim DeRuiter at his weekly press conference. It's Fresno State at Nevada today at 4 p.m. You can watch the game on ESPN3 using the Watch ESPN app on your device or Apple TV or however you connect your streaming content to your television. Although I was flying solo in the studio today, I wanted to thank host Eddie Hughes for calling in and fulfilling his hosting duties via telephone, and we'll have co-host and athletic director of Fresno State Sports, Jim Barco, back in the studio in the upcoming weeks. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSRSports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.